Head of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. That's what we always talk about here at Keys of the Kingdom, because so few people understand the Kingdom of God. Jesus was preaching that the Kingdom of God was at hand before him. John the Baptist was preaching that the Kingdom of God was at hand. For a number of years, we've heard preaching that the Kingdom of God is coming, that it's not at hand, that it's something that is in the distant future, something we should look into prophecy about. Now, there is definitely things that the early church was looking forward to, but there is no evidence that they didn't already take place. Am I talking preterism? Well, what I'm talking about is misapplication of prophecy. We read sketchy little statements in the Bible. Preachers tell us, oh, this means this and that means that, and we believe them. And the reality is it involves a great deal of rationalization, where we're constantly poring over complex metaphoric statements that were meant to be cryptic at the time they were written, and we try to fit them into what we want reality to look like. It is rationalization at its best to see people poring over revelations, trying to figure out what is coming, taking a few statements out of Mark and trying to figure out. You know, there's a great number of people that are proving in their own minds, and this is what rationalization is all about, they're proving in their own minds that Christ was a false prophet, and this is that you can actually go on YouTube and see people trying to present this. And the way they do it is that they present the modern conceptions that we have, perceptions we have created with bits and pieces of the gospel, and they point out that they are not consistent with what Christ said. And then they say, oh, well, Christ was just talking off the cuff. He wasn't really trying to be prophetic here. He was talking about generalities. And the fact is if you look at the Greek, they were very specific statements that Jesus was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. And it's funny because Christians actually jump back and forth. Is he talking about future events? When is he talking about now? When is he talking about future events from the point of view at the moment he was saying them? Talking about not one stone upon a stone and not a generation not passing away. And so suddenly, he, right in the middle of a statement, answering the questions of apostles, talking to them about a generation not passing away, clearly in the Greek text, the apostles would have believed that he was talking about their generation, and that Jerusalem would be destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed. There wasn't a stone left upon a stone. Yes, there wasn't a stone left upon a stone. I don't believe that he was actually speaking cryptically at the time. There wasn't going to be a stone upon a stone. They were actually going to take all these stones down, looking for the gold that had melted down through them, and so stones would have been removed. But what Christ was really talking about when he said, not a stone left upon a stone, he was talking about the destruction of the hierarchy, H-I-G-H-E-R, archy, where men would exercise authority over other men. That was the structure going to be taken down. Now, those who would listen to Christ, those who actually read the New Testament with an objective viewpoint, know that Jesus was not impressed with the temple. He didn't think of the temple as being of value. Those who read the Old Testament, talking about the rebuilding of the temple, and the old women weeping when they decided to rebuild it with bricks and lumber and build the temple with a structural appearance. Originally, the temple was just a tent. It was just a tent that they could take down and put up almost anywhere. And it was a group of men who were in charge of doing that. And it was a minor element of what they were in charge of, because it was just setting up like a, you know, big circus tent, and they'd move it around, and it wasn't that fancy a thing. It was very transitory. It would wear out. You'd have to make new cloth. But it was this big tent that kind of stood up like a big building, but it wasn't a building. It moved. When the wind blew, it flopped in and out. It was not a stone structure. They knew how to build stone structures. They were very good at building stone structures. These were not ignorant people. These were very clever people, very ingenious people. They were able to survive in some of the most inhospitable areas of the planet and actually prosper. They could be attacked on all fronts, and they would win. How were they doing this? Was it just because they were blessed by God, or was it because they actually were following the ways of God? Now, this prophecy did take place. The building was destroyed. The temple wasn't ever to be built. David started building, but put it off because he repented of it, the same as he instituted a draft, started numbering the young men so that he could draft them rapidly into his military, and he realized that was a sin, and he put that off. But the mere fact that he was king at all was a product of sin, because they only had a king because they rejected God. Before that, they had no king, no ruler who could exercise authority over them, no stone upon a stone, no heaps of earth upon heaps of earth. Remember, the original altars were clay altars, Adama altars. Adama, that's you. They were altars of men. We are clay. From dust you come, from dust you shall, to dust you shall return. We are all altars of clay. We all make our sacrifices daily by our choice, by our endowed right to choose, unless we give that right away to somebody else to choose for us. Now, where are we going with this? The temple was to be built of men, just as the altars were built of men. Altars of stone were just men specifically set aside, or set themselves aside, volunteered to become the distributors of the gifts of the people to the needy of society. The fact that society supports its needy, its true needy, not its selfish needy, not its self-serving needy, but the needy who occasionally fall on hard times. They contribute to society, but they have difficulties in their own life, and they take care of one another. Simple as that. The benefits of society, living together in a social structure. And what keeps the people together? Well, they know they might need help someday, and they care about those people who have helped them, and so they stick by them. You know, they become a band of brothers, and they become an invincible army. They can take on almost any difficulty with a tremendous success because they are bound together by faith, hope, and charity, the way God intended. That God never intended to put men into city-states and put rulers over them. The ones who did that, that was Cain, that was Nimrod, that was Pharaoh. But man in his natural state is a society based on faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty, the right to choose each day how you will relate to society. You don't have that anymore. You don't have that right anymore. I mean, you were endowed with that right But through contract, you have given that right to others to make that decision for you. And you are now under their authority. You want to change that. You want to get out from underneath their authority. You want to overcome their dictatorial powers over you. What are you going to do? Rescind documents? Can you do that? Can you void contracts that involve debt? No. Every man, woman, and child in the United States owes thousands upon thousands and thousands of dollars to the government. Who has not gone to public school? Why? Actually, I didn't go to public school. But who has not gone to public school? Who has not obtained benefits from government? Welfare, unemployment, Social Security. Who takes care of your parents? You do, or does somebody else take care of your parents? If you're not taking care of your parents, then you are in violation of the Ten Commandments. Because it said to honor thy parents, and the word honor there has to do with a gift, an honorarium, enriching, to fatten your parents, to take care of them as a family unit. God instituted the family, man instituted government. If you are not taking care of your parents, then who is? Somebody else is taking on the responsibility that God gave you. Therefore, somebody else has the right. Who was righteous in their generation? Noah. Who was helping Noah build the boat? His sons. They were married. They had families of their own. But when Noah decided to build a boat, his sons worked there and labored for Noah. Who do you labor for? Who is your father? Is it your natural father or is it someone else? We have divided ourselves away from our family. We have taken a different road. We have called for a new father. All this is contrary to Christ. Yet people think they're Christians. They think they're following Christ, and they are not. They have abandoned Christ. They have abandoned God. They have rejected God. They have elected other men to make laws for them. They are under the law. They are under the laws of the United States, of Australia, of New Zealand, of Bangladesh, because they pray to those governments for their benefits, for their daily bread. Our Father who art in Washington, D.C., hallowed be thy name. Thy rulership comes when we do your will. That's the prayer of the modern Christian that he says daily. Now, Sunday, sometimes on Sabbath, he may get together and say, oh, wait, our Father who art in heaven, you give us our daily bread. You forgive us our trespasses. You be the judge of our lives. But that's only on Sunday for about an hour. And then the rest of the time, we are praying to the benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. The stones of our altar are in Washington, D.C., in state capitals all over the United States. We have abandoned God. We have rejected God. And we have elected other men to be our Saul, to be our Savior, our Mashiach, our David. And that is the ones we look to because we have not heard the gospel of the kingdom from our preachers. And in our churches, they have preached to us the gospel of the delayed, not here yet kingdom. Contrary to what Christ said, he sent us out to preach the kingdom of heaven at hand. The right to be ruled by God is at hand. But you have not done that. You have gone back into the bondage of Egypt, despite the fact that God said, if you have to elect a ruler who can exercise authority, put it down in your constitution that he can do nothing to return you to the bondage of Egypt. Yet that is where you are at, the bondage of Egypt. You have been deluded. You are under a very strong delusion. You have gone into that bondage. You are stone upon stone, ruler upon ruler, controller upon controller, lawmaker upon men who would rule over their neighbor and force their neighbors to contribute to their welfare and what should have been for your welfare, as Paul says, as David says, has become a snare. You are snared. You cannot get out of that snare. simply by rescinding contracts. You can write down documents that express your intent, but deeds speak louder than words. Are you bound together in a community based on faith, hope, and charity? Because if you are not, you are not in the kingdom of God. You probably do not have the right to be ruled by God. And those endowed rights, you do not have a right to exercise. You have not listened to Paul when he said, remain subject to the higher power to choose, which is God's right endowed upon you naturally. You have gone into bondage. That's a fact. That's a fact. Deal with it. Okay? Now, what can we do about it? Listen to what Christ says. Listen to what Moses had said before him. Love your neighbor as yourself. Stop praying for benefits to fathers of the earth. Stop looking to the Al Gores, the Obamas, the Bill Clintons, even the Ron Pauls. Ron Paul, though, he at least said, I can't do it for you. You should read our Plan B. You know, everybody wanted to, not everybody, but a certain number of people wanted to elect Ron Paul as if he was going to solve the problem. All you would probably do is get him shot if you did get him elected. What a selfish act. You want to be free, you have to take back your responsibilities. And this is what Christ was teaching. This is what John the Baptist was teaching. This is what Moses was doing. This is what Abraham was doing. You have to start living by faith instead of forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, or you will not be free. So how do you do that? Go to hisholychurch.info. Look up there at the top of the page. You'll see an icon that has a little man who is a fisher of man. He's got a little net he's throwing out. Click on that and go find local groups in your area. Australia, New Zealand, it doesn't matter. Okay, there's only a half a dozen or so people in Australia and New Zealand that are on the group. Why isn't there more? Find more. Talk to more. Seek more. We've got the radio programs going out. You can download them anywhere in the world, in the archives. You can listen to these. We have audios that are on our own website under the media section, another icon up there on the top of the website. Listen to that. Think about it. How do you get to be a free society? And why is it important? Because the unrighteous mammon that you are now a member of, a person of, a prayer to, where you are a stone in a pile of stones, you a pile of earth that others walk upon, tread upon, bite out of. You are in a cauldron, a civil structure in which your brother takes bites out of you by right, by privilege, granted by contract, and where you have new gods who rule over you. Read God's Many if you do not understand what I'm talking about. Find out why there were God's many then, why there are God's many now. So join the local network. Pick someone who will be your contact minister. You're not bound to this man. You can change your mind anytime you want, or this woman who is your contact minister. It's just a way of saying, I want to get in contact with other people, and I'm looking for somebody to help me do that. I'm going to actually depend upon you to help me do that. And there are volunteers on many of these groups who will volunteer to do that. Now, some of them will do a poor job. Some will do a mediocre job. Some will do a great job of finding other people and putting you in contact. Then when you get to be numbers in these different communities, Colorado has 24 people there. They haven't picked a contact minister yet. Why not? You know, they've been given several emails on the subject to pick a contact minister, because as soon as they do, that contact minister is put in connection with other contact ministers and they become a part of a network. Then they can sit down and think of new ways in which to spread the gospel of the kingdom, because you're going to need every soul out there. And if you care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself, why wouldn't you be doing that? If you're not doing that, if you're not becoming a part of the network, if you're not seeking others and helping others seek others, then you don't care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself, and you're unsuitable for the kingdom of heaven. You're unsuitable to be ruled by God. You are the slothful, and you should be under tribute, for the slothful shall be under tribute, only the diligent shall bear rule. Diligent in what? Diligent in self-serving, diligent in storing up a stockpile and hiding it somewhere in storage units or under the ground or out in the woods somewhere in your special little hideout? Is that where your treasure is? Well, the winds will blow it away, and you will find yourself with nothing. The kingdom of heaven is about people. It's about people willing to come together. Why don't people come together? Because they're unforgiving and they're selfish and they're washed to and fro with the winds and tides of the world and of life. They aren't consistent. Be consistent. Be diligent. Seek the kingdom. So when you get on this group, say, who has volunteered to be a contact minister for this group? Whether it's Colorado or Texas, we have a couple in Texas, Wisconsin. We have a few people get voted, but you got to have actually two votes for somebody to become an actual official contact minister. Why is that? Because Old and New Testament tells you you can only do things by two witnesses. You know, this idea of simply rescinding documents and filing them is a very dangerous idea. You have to remember, you're in bondage, you're in slavery, and there are laws already put into place. There's already judicial decisions concerning this trust that you've entered, this unrighteous mammon that you've entered, as to what will happen to you if you run away, if you try to escape. You become a fugitive slave. They don't have to let you go, you know. You can't just rescind a contract on your side. Oh, you're going to say, oh, they didn't tell me everything. Full disclosure. They full disclosure coming out their ears. They got all this stuff published. Hey, I live out in the middle of the desert, and I found it. Anybody can find it. It's there. I mean, they define it. And besides, what did you think was going to happen when you go to school at the expense of your neighbor, when you went to public school? What did you think was going to happen? Somebody was paying for that. You were incurring debt. When you elected these, and your fathers elected these men who could exercise authority in hopes of getting benefits from them, you're bound by that. You have to reject your father. You reject your father, you know, all you white supremacists out there think, oh, we're Israel, we're identity Israel. If you've rejected your father, you don't have any inheritance in that. I don't care what color you are. That's gone. You know, if your fathers went into bondage, you're in bondage. Or you abandon your fathers, in which you become separated. When David was king, he was king. You could separate from Rehoboam and say, what is David to us? That's what they said. What is David to us? They walked away from the kingdom. They walked away from their inheritance. And they were not the chosen people anymore. Now, if you're going to be the chosen people now, you have to be followers of Christ, because Christ is the Messiah. He is the King. There is no other Israel other than those who follow Christ. And most of the Christians who say they're following Christ, they're far from Him. They're not following Christ. They're not following Christ at all. Now, before we hit the break, we're going to have a little meeting here, a little tent gathering, a little fall festival. You can come, bring your own provisions, you know, we'll share with you, you share with us, we'll have a good time. That's coming up on September 26th, the weekend of the September 26th, all the way through the Day of Atonement. If you're really hardy at camping, you can stay camping in the area, either at the trailer park next door. You can park a trailer and hook up, there's showers and everything, or you can come out and rough it with us out on the property that the church is hoping to buy here this year, and we'll talk about all those things I won't talk to you about on the radio. It is what I like to call campfire talk. So go ahead and mark it on your calendar. Hope you heard all that. You can drown me out, but I'll repeat it again in the next half.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation under the heavenly Father with grace, mercy, and justice for all.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you? Have you seen Loose Change, the most popular documentary in the 911 truth movement? With the coming change in government, now is the time to push for justice and get this truth into the hands of millions of Americans. First Amendment Radio is offering both videos, Loose Change and 911 Justice on DVD. We will ship two copies of both videos to you for $10 cash. Yes, two copies, one for you and one for you to give away. You will see and hear Larry Silverstein admit that they decided to pull the building. Why are they not being pursued? The people must know. Justice must be had. The time is now. Two copies of both videos, Loose Change and 911 Justice, for $10 cash. No checks, please. To First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. Yes, before the break, I was talking about having a fall festival here. You could have it, call it a harvest festival. camp meeting, feast of booths, feast of tabernacles, whatever you want to call it, gathering for those who want to come. Now, we're not pushing this really heavy, so I have no idea how many people. We're focusing on the networks in the local areas because that's where you will really get help. I mean, when bad things happen, I can't run to Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Australia, New Zealand, and help you out. Only local people can do that. You know, if you think that belonging to an email group is going to save you, lots of luck. Because email groups, what they will do is they'll send you another email. We've created these network groups in the different areas like Oregon or Colorado or wherever. Canada is really slow in joining on and gathering together. You need to gather together, pick a contact minister, then you'll get the Living Network newsletter. Only if you participate will you get it. You know, it's not, you can't just sign up, you know, and remain anonymous and then find out the information. I will post stuff on the Living Network that you will not hear other places. I will talk at the camp meeting here in Summer Lake about things that I will not talk about on the radio or write about. I will answer questions that I would not answer otherwise. Why is that? Because it is not given to everybody to know everything. That's it. There you go. Christ said the same thing. It's not given unto them to know. Now, we give a lot more detailed information about the gospel than you get from reading the Bible. Not because it isn't in the Bible, but because you have preconceived notions about what the Bible says. People have been whispering in your ears for years and years. The translations are sketchy, from to say the least, because God doesn't want you to be able to read a book and figure it all out. I don't know anybody who could anyway. It is written on your hearts and your mind, and it is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. It is explained there in great detail. And we show people how they've been deceived, how they think they're free and they're actually in worse bondage than they were in Egypt. I mean, that is so obvious, it just jumps right out at you. Why people have not figured that out is just astounding. But the fact is Christ said they would be astounded. They would be confused. They would be under a strong delusion. And he was right. My goodness, he was right. You're under a strong delusion. And you haven't got a clue how it worked. Some of you are beginning to wake up. Some of you are beginning to realize how it works. But if you're not coming together with others, you don't get it. You don't know Christ. And, okay, you come together with a few local people in your own area. You have a little Bible study or whatever you want to call it. Great. Have that little Bible study. Come together. Help one another. Depend on one another. That's great. But that's not the kingdom. Because if you have a congregation there in Oklahoma or Kansas or Texas or wherever, and your congregation is not trying to gather together with other congregations, then you don't know Christ. You're not listening to him. You may be calling him Lord, Lord, but you're not doing what he said. And not doing what the early church did. I mean, there was trouble in the land, a dearth in the land, right? That would be like a recession, depression. And people were out of work. People didn't have enough money to buy food. They didn't have enough food to buy. Whatever it was, they needed help. So what did they do in Jerusalem? What did they do in Syria? What did they do in these Christian communities? They went to Pharaoh. They went to Caesar. They went to who? They went to each other. Well, how do they do that? They don't know each other. I just got my little Bible study here in Kansas. You know? I'm just following the Spirit. I'm just here in Kansas, and I'm okay. And I got my stuff. Now, I don't know if anybody else is starving anywhere else in the world. I don't know if anybody else is out of work. I know a guy in Colorado. He's out of work. He's mentioned it on the group. Nobody in the group said, "Hey, you know, we could, you know, if you had not 25 people on the group in Colorado, but 2,500 people in the group, you would have your own unemployment service." That's right. You could find jobs for anybody who didn't have a job. You think you might not have a job sometime? You think you might not get laid off? You think you might not need help? You might. You got a network that you can turn to that's operating on faith, hope, and charity to help you out? No, you don't. Well, then you don't have the kingdom of God, because that's what it was. Network of people coming together, willing to help each other out. They took up contributions. They had ministers who they could trust, because they had looked out amongst themselves, found men they trusted, and they had put them over this business. Now, when you elect a contact minister, you're just putting them over that business of trying to find other people. Now, you got to help him out. You got to participate. Well, you start participating by electing that contact minister. Very simple form that we have. When you do that, automatically I get an email. Automatically you're signed up to the Living Network newsletter. Automatically things happen. If you don't sign up, automatically things don't happen. You're not a part of the network. You're on an email group. You'll get another email. You can send another email, and you get nowhere. I have watched it for years. Unless people take a step in the direction of the kingdom of heaven, they won't get any closer to the kingdom of heaven. And they will not get and obtain the benefits of the kingdom of heaven. They will be told, "Get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity. The slothful shall be under tribute. Only the diligent shall bear rule." Now, we've seen people all the time talking about wanting to be free, but that's just what they want. They want to be free. Wrong approach. You need to want others to be free as you are. How many people have offered to help that fellow out who's lost his job in Colorado? How many? How many of you guys have written him? And if you did write him, why didn't you write him on the group? So that other people will see that, hey, you know, we can help one another. Get the idea. Hey, we can be there for one another. I mean, you guys want to have your American Revolution? You haven't got hardly a minute man amongst you. Now, I believe they're out there. But I believe we've been plagued by tax protesters for decades. Because we wrote the book, The Covenants of the Gods, and show how you've gone into bondage. You can read it for free on the net. You know, I see these guys having seminars, and you got to pay them $250, even $1,000, $1,500. We give it away. But, you know, like when I was on Randy Yarbrough's show, you know, he says that it's free. It's free. And I said, no, it's not. It's not free. It's going to cost you your delusion. You're going to have to become minutemen for each other. You're going to have to be there for each other. You're going to have to take on not only your responsibilities, the responsibilities of your family, but you're going to have to take on the responsibility for your neighbor. Now, what kind of people are those? Those are the kind of people that if you end up in a foxhole, if you end up out in the wilderness in hard times, you want to be with those people who care as much about your liberty as you care about your own, and vice versa. You don't want to be with guys who just want to be free. You know, you don't want to be with unforgiving guys who, you know, you accidentally step on their toe or something happens that kind of gives them a little jostle or bump. Oh, well, I'm not going to talk to him anymore. You want to be with those kind of guys? You know, the passionate guys in touch with their feminine side? You know, I'm compassionate, but I'm not wishy-washy. I have emotions, but my emotions don't have me. You know, these effeminate guys out there, they give women a bad name. I find, you know, actually one of our best contact ministers is a woman. She's doing a better job than any of the others. You know, and that's a real indictment of the American male when the best man for the job is a woman. You know, we need to step up. We need to start becoming men and start seeking the kingdom. You know, like some of these guys, John the Baptist and the Apostle, these are tough guys. They had their problems. But they got their act together. You know, they had disagreements. And they worked them out. You know, all I do is talk to you. I don't twist anybody's arm. I don't kick in your doors. I don't sit here and beg you for your donations. We support this ministry mostly with our manual labor and we all the stuff we give away and print book after book, pamphlet after pamphlet. We got a fellow in Australia. The Australians are really, and New Zealanders are dragging their feet about electing a contact minister. They ought to elect George. I mean, he's busy. He's already in the charitable business. And he sees that there is a need. And he's doing something about it. He's not waiting for somebody to say, well, I don't know, I really want to elect a contact minister. Well, you probably shouldn't. You probably should just get comfortable being a slave. I had a guy down in California. Your site's too complicated. I don't want to be a part of that. I just want to know who's near me. you know, and everybody who got in contact with him, he seemed kind of cantankerous. Well, I'll bet you odds he's driven away all his friends, probably his wife and children. And now he wants to come to us and shop for new friends, so he has somebody else to drive away. You know, it is, sorry, bye-bye. You know, that was what I talked about last week, the sheep that just kept running over the hill, just going to run off and be a sovereign sheep, bye-bye. And after I run around that guy two or three times, you know, eventually I said, that guy wants to be free. So, you know, he went and had lunch with the coyotes. He just ran off. I mean, there was no keeping him with the herd. He just wasn't going to stay with the herd. You bring him right back in the middle of the herd, and he had to run off. You know, I know guys like that. They can't get together with anybody. They got to go smoke their cigarettes, and they got to go, you know, be free, and then, you know, yelling at policemen that, oh, I'm free, I'm a sovereign, I'm, you know, I'm in the kingdom of God, I'm not in your government. But they're not in God's government because they're not working to take care of others. You know, that you gotta actually care about others as much as you care about yourself. Now, you bring those people together, you've got a nation of people. Now, today is an anniversary. We've only got a little less than 15 minutes in the show, so I was going to talk to you a little bit about the anniversary today. I always like to... couple of things I do get in the mail that have nothing to do with the kingdom, but just my own interest, is I look for, you know, what happened on this day in history. Well, on this day in history, the English Civil War began because the supporters of Charles I and of Parliament had a disagreement. And the king had raised his standard at Nottingham. You remember Nottingham? You know, Robin Hood, all that stuff. Well, that was in 1642 that English Civil War began. Now, what was that all about? Roundheads and wigs and stuff like that. Eventually, Charles I got beheaded at Whitehall, and Parliament took over. Well, you know, this is supposedly a struggle for freedom and all this stuff. And there was a struggle for freedom, but there was a group of people who wanted to exercise authority and take away some of the authority of the king and rule over the people, and they were fighting against the king. Well, this all started even longer ago than 1642. You can go back to James and go back to the discovery that the Bible was telling them something different than they were hearing from their churches. Well, the fact is the Bible is telling you a lot different than you're hearing from your churches, which is, and you're not listening to what the Bible says, and this is what we're showing. And I see all the people that look at our website and say, oh, you say it better than anybody else. Oh, this is really great. I never heard anybody else say it quite like you. And then we go on paying for all the subscriptions on that so that we can put this up on site after site. Got hundreds of people coming to the websites every day. We got people signing on to the network. Now that's where you can actually start contributing. You don't have to contribute to me. You don't have to. I mean, if you want to, great. You know, I mean, we could use it. I mean, we're starving here. I mean, we can eat, you know, because we grow big gardens and stuff like that. But we can't do half the things that we want to do because we simply don't have the funds to do it. And when God's ready, he'll send us the funds to do it. And he'll find the people that will willingly give that, freely give that. You know, the free will offerings, the burnt offerings that they give up entirely because they see us doing the work of Christ and they want to support that. Great. But you don't have to do that to be a part of the network. But you do have to find a congregation of people. You have to get together with somebody and contribute to the welfare of somebody. It's not hard to do. Because if you're not contributing to the welfare of people in an organized fashion where you have organized yourself. Now, everybody's so much, oh, the organized church. Well, organized church, was always organized. It's just you got a choice, organized from the top down or from the bottom up. Well, if it's going to be from the bottom up, that starts with you. You got to organize it. You got to make it happen. You got to actually take on the responsibility of being the church, being the government of God, by governing yourself and helping those who need help when they really do need help. Not weakening the poor, but strengthening the poor. Helping people get on their feet. and working together and creating those bonds of faith, hope, and charity that will sustain you during hard times, because you haven't got much time left. You better wake up. You better get on that net right now, hisholychurch.info. Get that drop-down menu, go to the local network groups, and join one of those network groups. As soon as you get the notice that you're on that group, I'm going to be in Colorado this next week for a little bit. I'm not going up to the Denver area where most of the guys are at, because most of the guys haven't shown any interest. You know, I said I was going there. Is there any interest? Anybody want to meet? One guy. One guy said he wanted to meet. Nobody else said anything. They have no contact minister. Well, they had a meeting. Great. I think that's great. That's as far as they want to go? Fine. As far as they're getting. You know, as far as you want to go is as far as you're going to get. No one's going to drag you into the kingdom of heaven. No one's going to kick in your door. No one's going to make you get involved. You either get involved or you don't. You're either in or you're out. That's the way it works. Now, you got to wake up to the fact that if you're going to be free, you got to be the government of God. There's no other governments that are free. You know, go have lunch with coyotes. You know, because that's what you're going to do. If you don't come together, you will be devoured eventually. You know, you want to just get out of the system? Great, you're out of the system. Now, what do you do when they gas ration? What do you when they food ration? You ready for that? Okay, you got yourself ready. Now you got your little garden out in the middle of nowhere. What happens if you have to leave for a short period of time because of marauding groups? I mean, it's insane what people are not doing. Israel, when they're crossing and they got to deal with Amalekites and Amalekites and stuff like that, they came together as a people. If they didn't, they were toast. They tried to bind each other together with a golden calf. Didn't work. Didn't work. Bad idea. That's how you're bound together now. But you need to be bound together by faith, hope, and charity. And that takes a certain kind of person who's willing to do that. And we need to find those people, and we need to get together with those people. The people that won't come together on these little groups, fine. We will find the others who will. Now, you can repent and change your ways and come together. Yeah, what was going on before the Civil War began? People began to understand that the Bible was the book for the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. That's what it says in the introduction to Wycliffe's Bible. He realized that. Of course, he's immediately arrested, gone into jail, immediately died in the middle of the night. 2 years later, the church dug him up and burned him at the stake. The Lollards were burned at the stake. What were the Lollards? They were men going out preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Who's going to burn me at the stake? I mean, as soon as we get well known by the right guys, we will be under attack. But we know the Holy Spirit can keep us safe. So you who hear now, get involved. Get involved on a local basis. Connect those local groups with contact ministers. And don't rely entirely upon the net. Find each other. Come to gatherings in different areas. You don't all have to come here. Those of you who feel moved to come here on the 26th, great. You know, if you want to stay in a motel, there's a motel nearby. You want to stay in the trailer park? You can. You want to put up a tent in the trailer park? You can. You want to come out to the other place and put up a tent there? There's about 1,000 acres to which we can put you up on. You want to go camp down at the lake? Great. There's pit toilets down at the lake, and you can come up and pay for a shower at the RV park. You know, we used to have people come here and for gatherings. We'd have a large number of people here. Many of them would eat all the food we prepared and contribute nothing, you know. And we didn't mind that. We did, because, you know, my wife's just, you know, naturally giving. But we realized we were catering to the wrong people. We were catering to people who want to be free and have things for free. They're better off just going and joining the welfare system of the world. And it's because we weren't requiring anything of anybody, and we still don't. But if you want to be a part of the network, you have to step out. You know, we don't expect you to step out in raging seas, but you will see raging seas. But you got to step out with a little faith. Start working together. You got to show us you care about someone else as much as you care about yourself. And you're going to have to do that ongoing. But that's where it starts. Join the network. Find a contact minister. Try to find others. Not just for what you can get from the kingdom, but for what you can do for the kingdom. You know, take a look at our videos. We got more videos up. They start giving you a hint as to where we're going. You don't have to, you know, there's no membership fees. You don't have to, you don't owe us your first bullhorn. You just show us that you care enough to care about somebody else besides yourself. Care about somebody else's rights. That was the motto of Moses. The Jews don't do that today. I mean, some do. Some Christians do. Very few. Most Christians are in apostasy. They worry more about their doctrines and their dogma than the weightier matters of law, justice, and mercy. How can you have law, justice, and mercy if you don't even know who anybody else is? You're just isolated in your own little group, your own little club, your little breakfast club, your little Bible study. You got to network together. The kingdom of heaven is a nation, a peculiar people. We're just not to be like the governments of the Gentiles, which most Christians are like, because most Christians have joined. They've elected their benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. They have put the stones upon each other again. They haven't built the temple of God, because the temple of God is not built by piling stone upon stone. It's built by coming together by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. You could take care of all your medical needs, all your social needs, all your defensive needs as a people, simply by coming together with people who care as much about each other as they do themselves. You could walk through the worst desert in the world, surrounded by Amalekites and Amalekites, and you would be safe, because the grace of God would flow through your community, through the hearts and minds of those people who will receive it. But if you want to be arrogant rebels, you want to be unforgiving, emotional basket cases, have at it. You know, if you want to be sovereigns without brothers, make a run for it. Those who seek the kingdom, repent, turn around, let's go the other way. And let's go there quick, because you're running out of time. That's another hour gone by. On the road to the kingdom of heaven. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.